my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, our great friend and supporter across this podcast and the Chris and Dave's reality TV cast, Mr. Kent Gustafson, Dave, has picked a movie from 1977, which I know Kent's birthday and mine were within one day in the same year. So we were both weren't born, Dave. We were minus one when this came out, just to throw it in there.
I won't ask you
your age,
yeah.
Dave, because I take a mick out your age all the time, and I won't do that. Because this is a religious episode of the VHS Strikes Back, Dave. So we are going back to 1977. It's a movie starring George Burns, and I didn't realise that the other star was the singer John Denver, but it stars John Denver, Dave, and it stars Paul Sorvino out of Goodfellas. This is Oh God. So, Dave, I know we talked about it last week, but any idea on any of this movie at all? You ever come across it?
Well, no, but you've just implanted or impregnated, I would say.
Well, that'll be a first.
An idea. Because this came out October 7th, 1977. Now, that's the US date. We don't actually have the UK date. But you would think it would be a month or two after that. When is your birthday, Chris? November 78?
Yeah, 23rd of November, yeah.
So you weren't actually born, but maybe it was around this time you were conceived.
Doesn't bear. Well, I was at my mum and dad's wedding in the May, Dave. It was a shotgun wedding, so I definitely was in the pictures anyway. You couldn't see me. You can see the bump. And you can see the nose actually sticking out my mum's stomach, you know. Like.
No, Chris, I think I might have seen this, you know. And I'm not sure if I have or if I haven't, because I remember growing up, and I have this feeling of like being at my nan's and kind of left alone to just watch afternoon TV and stuff like that. And so it could have been that I've seen this or bits of this or just one of the other, you know, religious kind of daytime TV episodes you had, you know, around this time. And like the music feels very kind of familiar, doesn't it, from that kind of 70s family entertainment kind of movie. But yeah, there were just some bits out of it which I just felt, you know, when he's in the big white room and stuff, it just felt familiar without ever actually knowing this one. I mean, I recognized John Denver straight away. I didn't actually know he was doing any acting. At the time, if I had have watched this, I didn't know who John Denver was. But you know,
acting.
So wouldn't have been. Yeah, well,
you're losing that one,
basically, isn't it? Yeah, but we'll get onto that, I'm sure. But no, so other than that feeling of familiarity, no specific memories about this one. I mean, how about yourself, Chris?
Nothing, Dave. I did think when we watched the trailer, I thought this is could be up my street, you know, a Mr. Destiny type movie, you know, something where you've got like them talking to someone else, John Denver's character. So I was quite interested thinking, was this sort of like an inspiration for these movies that came afterwards, you know, and you've got like these get a second chance thing or a god or an angel comes down and that. So I was quite interested. I know George Burns, who he is, Dave. You know, I think he lived till he was bloody in his 90s. He's a legend in America, especially with his 1996. 100 years he was. He was exactly 100 years. I knew he'd lived for quite a while. And I have seen some films, but no, just no recollection really. But I do think the idea of a god being there and going through these things, as much as I'm a Catholic boy, Dave, and I have things to say about this movie, I always feel that there is something afterlife. I just don't know what it is. So sort of intriguing. And I think if I'd watched this as a kid, say the mid-80s, I probably would have enjoyed it. But I think watching it now at 44 years old, it's definitely it's definitely of its time, of 1977. It's 45 years old, 46 this year. So, yeah, it's an interesting choice that Kent's picked it. At least, you know, we always go down the action route, don't we? Or the comedy. I mean, like an absolute classic movie, like The Ultimate Weapon, Dave, that I picked last time. Absolute legendary movie. He's gone very quiet there, Dave. He's still there. But
no,
anyway,
I am still here. I was actually thinking, I bet you I know who's watched it. Joan fucking Osborne. You know, the do you remember that song? Was that from the 90s? What If God Was One of Us? Do you remember that one?
No, I don't know
what
that one.
What If God Was One of Us?
Yes, yes, I do know that one, David.
She's just fucking ripped off this film.
Well, I have no more to say about it, Dave. I've got to say, though, this movie has got some of the greatest quotes ever, and there's one at the end. I am going to send us off at the end with the quote. You don't have to panic. You don't have to think it. I have a quote within this movie, Dave, which had me on the fucking floor, and I thought quite apt to one of God's disciples. But anyway, Dave, shall we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
Meet Jerry Landers, just an average guy, married, father of two. Every day, he drives his late model car to Food World, where he is assistant manager, in line for a promotion. Bright, personable, competent, Jerry Landers has every reason to believe he's a young man with a future. And he is, but it isn't at Food World.
Read this.
God grants you an interview. It's a gag.
Pretty crazy gag.
Not what you expected, huh? John this.
Warner Brothers presents John Denver and George Burns in...
Oh, God.
I thought you didn't believe in me.
That's just an expression.
I'm more than that. I want you to spread the word. Here I am. I exist.
And you think it's God?
Well, he thinks he's God, and I'm in no position to argue with him.
I'm not a nut.
The ball is rolling.
Right over me.
Now watch over you.
Oh, no.
Jerry, are you seeing now that you saw God?
Three times.
Three times.
I can't make appearances all over, don't you understand?
No, I don't.
The crew would be dropping dead from hysterics.
Can you sign this, please?
What if it were you? What if you were given a chance,
Jerry,
to meet and speak
up here
with God?
Let's go for a ride.
What would it take to convince you it wasn't a joke?
Change the weather.
Little rain?
Yeah, a small shower.
One small shower, you got it.
It's not raining outside. Gee, it's just in here. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
Here it is, as seen through the eyes of Jerry Landers, God.
What would be the reaction of your friends and family?
You're gonna get kind of rusty.
We hit the papers, a little TV.
I'm liable to lose my job.
Now, I am not crazy.
Well, God may have been interested in talking to you as an assistant manager. Now, we'll just see how he feels about you as a bag stuffer.
And I don't need some child psychiatrist to tell me that I didn't talk to God, because I did.
Lose a job, save a world.
And of all the people in the world, why would he...
I am not crazy.
...pick you?
Want to try a little harder to get the word out?
Well, I'll give it another shot.
That's my boy.
Oh, God. A funny, feel-good sort of movie about a mixed blessing.
God appears as a kindly old man to Jerry Landers.
Colonel Sanders' son.
He's an assistant manager. And after a few failed attempts in trying to set up an interview, God tells Jerry that he has been selected to be his messenger to the modern world, much like the contemporary Moses. Timidly at first, Landers tells his wife, children, and a religion editor of the Los Angeles Times of his encounters with God, and soon becomes a national icon of comedic fodder. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, I've got to say, Dave, you know, Kent has pulled one out of the bag here. But I'll be honest with you, this movie's fucking garbage, Dave. I thought it was... I'm sorry, Kent. I know, you know, I have not said this for a while, but the idea behind it, it's on for an hour and 40, and I only think it gets going in the last 10 minutes. So we have got this, I mean, John Denver, fucking hell, there is hope for me and you, Dave. Remember our favourite Comics in Motion when we read out that script that time when we first started? Yeah, that was so good. And then there was something I did when we had a sponsor, Comics in Motion, and you were just like, nope, I'm not fucking doing it. And it was supposed to be a little sketch where I go, well, Dave, I tell you what, I can hear you crystal clear. And you're going to go, well, Chris, it's these new, whatever the headsets were, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Studio.
Studio. And you just went, fuck off, Chris. What is this shit? So that's as far as our acting chops. And I know Spider-Man has, you know, tread the boards, Dave. He's done a little bit out there. He's very good, actually, some of the other things. But this, for me, it's just giving any old shit and any old role to anybody in these movies. Because the pretense of it, and there's loads of, like, little unnecessary stuff. I mean, there's a woman robbing the fucking supermarket, but for some reason, John Denver's character, Jerry, never does anything to it. He goes on the counter like he's going to pull her. She's putting stuff in a bag. And the next minute, he's just driving home to his wife. Got to say, Dave, looked like we were going to get some sort of 70s porno stuff at one point. His wife, what she was doing, I do not know. And he's cutting his hair with no hair, actually removing. And he cuts his own mullet and then he sided his Dave. There was no hair coming off. At all.
There were some interesting gadgets there, weren't there?
Yes, yes. That was QVC. I think that was the birth of QVC. So I thought this is just, it's, I did think it was going to be an afternoon movie that I could have related to because it was when we were kids. You know, like when you watch these sort of movies, you have to sit there with your parents or your grandparents usually. A black and white movie or something. Oh, this is a good movie. Watch this. And I get it, but for me, this just passed me by. And being brought up Catholic, Dave, fucking religion can suck my balls anyway. So, I mean, that's the only thing that ever sucked my balls when I was a child. Let's just get that right, being a Catholic and an altar boy. But, you know, I have no thing anyway.
That was an interesting avenue you took there. But again, I've said it before, my mind's eye now can fuck right off. So, I mean, right, let's. I found this a bit of a slog, I have to say, but I think I'm going to defend it a little bit more than than the way you've come out shooting with both barrels there. I mean, his wife, played by Terry Garr, I had a bit of a crush on back in the day because she was very lovely. She was in Young Frankenstein as well, I recognise her from, and also Close Encounters of the Third Kind as well. She played the wife there. Similar sort of character, really. You're fucking nuts. You say about religion before we went off on that weird tangent there. I like how this movie doesn't really align itself to religion. Because it doesn't, like, it speaks about God, and then he talks about Jesus as his son. Doesn't he say about Muhammad being his son, or someone else, you know, these different prophets and whatever? So I like how it walks a middle line there, and it doesn't get too, you know, preachy about one specific religion. I mean, the obvious one would be Christianity, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I did like that. But you mentioned about I suppose you mentioned about QVC. I wonder if that was what it was trying to signal there, was this kind of consumer society. You know, this young, you know, childless at the moment, married couple, got a lot of disposable income. They've got all the gadgets. That fucking thing he had around his neck where he was cutting his own hair was fucking bizarre, wasn't it? But you could just imagine that was up there on the, you know, QVC or something, where they're selling this stuff. And she's doing the old, I must improve my bust.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, I was struggling to latch on to any kind of real plot point. I like
a movie
with plot points.
Yeah.
Whereas this just kind of meanders on, and you know, you can tell, obviously we watched the trailer, didn't we? So you know the basic premise, but I mean, that's pretty much it, isn't it? You know, God shows up as a regular dude and then he tries to convince this guy to be his messenger. But it goes on for so long without anything really happening? You know, the whole thing with, you know, there's no 27th floor. You know, the building only goes up to 17, apparently. They must have spent like 5 minutes on that.
Yeah.
You know, I guess part of it is, you know, we've done a few 70s movies this year, haven't we? They're all a bit slower. They all really take their time, you know, and labor a point. And I say, you know, of course, the other massive movie in 1977, Chris, of course, Star Wars, as it was called back then. This knocked that off the top spot on the box office for a whole week. which I'm pretty amazed about, to be honest, but Star Wars was back on top pretty soon after that. So yeah, I don't know, there is something that I wouldn't go as far as say I really enjoyed about the movie, but there was something a bit thought-provoking about it.
You know what, I think what you're saying is correct, actually. Is it's the fact that there is no one really to vouch for, and the story is just so fucking vague. It's like, it's just little set pieces. I mean, when God, right, listen to me, Dave. If I was God, right, you know, and if I was God, I'd look like a fucking Adonis. I wouldn't look like some geriatric with a fucking wig on, Irish jigger on there, because George Burns is God. I'm sorry, that fucking, the best bit about the movie was him making sure that his fucking Irish jig didn't slip, Dave, because that is just bullshit. There's no way he'd be an old man like that. But obviously, he's filling the role. He's like, ah, yeah, okay, Jerry, and all his fucking crap. And he can't see him. So we've had plenty of movies we've watched where there's someone there. You know, one of my favourite TV shows when I was a kid, and this is why I thought I might like it, Dave, was Randall and Hopkirk.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a... Yeah, I still love it. I know it's a 60s one, but BBC Two, when we were kids, it was always like Mission Impossible, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., then it'd be Randall and Hopkirk deceased.
Yeah,
and you're like Fresh Prince on. You'd have shitty Star Trek on. What a load of shit that is, Dave. I'm still thinking that wank. But that used
original
to be on.
Original Star Trek.
Original,
as well.
It was. Yeah, it was William Shatner talking about wigs, Dave, but William Shatner was there. But so that was us as kids. So I did love that idea of like, and even think, I'll tell you what I did love as well as I got into my teens, Dave, on BBC Two. One of my favourite shows as well was Quantum Leap. I fucking love that film. That was a show, you know, oh boy, you know, and I loved it. I watched all of it. I loved the idea of it and like, you know, Sam and all. Yeah, I just loved it. Anyway, I thought this is what it was going to be. And I'm sat there going, it's going to get going in a minute. It's going to get going. And I'm looking at the clock and I think we got like 45 minutes in. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. He's met God. God soaked him in his car, a little bit of a skit with the police. I wouldn't really say it was funny. Jerry is like trying to convince people. Then he becomes the butt of the joke, stunning, because they're all like saying he's just basically a religious nut. I do like that. And maybe in some respects we should think about, like, when we see these people who go full on religious, Dave, maybe God stood next to them and we don't realize, you know, like maybe it's that, I don't know. But I think I can understand why it was so popular, and it made a lot of money. I mean, 50 million at the box office for a comedy type movie then in 77. I'm sure with inflation, that's probably 10 times more than what it is. So that's that, you know, fair play to it, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, you say about, you know, maybe giving people a break who come out with this shit. But I remember as a kid having that thought, like, you know, what if, I had to go to Sunday school and shit like this, so it occupied my mind a lot more than what it would today. But, you know, what if Jesus or God actually showed up, you know, or someone said that, you know, they've spoken to God or whatever, would you believe him? And I remember coming to the conclusion, yeah, I think I'd believe him. Cue David Icke comes out, declares himself son of God. I'm like, fuck off. So that was one of my early kind of lessons in my own hypocrisy, which I think we all suffer from a little bit as humans. But no, I don't know if it is just a product of its time where, like you say, nothing really happens. You know, they're occupying space on the screen. Chris, did it feel to you like there wasn't actually that much dialogue in this film? Like they were just like, they were walking around and just going to places and looking at things. And it was like, but no one's speaking. That's just that weird.
Yeah, because Jerry he's, you know, John Denver's character, he's just in a complete disarray for the whole movie. You get loads of close-up shots. That's a good point, actually, Dave. I'd not thought that, but you're right. He's in disarray and so, like, hemped up, and no one believes him, did he? And even his wife's questioning him and his kid. And, yeah, it's weird because I think someone who grew up Catholic, you say about Sunday school, in fact, fuck it, you have to go to Sunday school. But I was actually christened Church of England when I was a baby because my dad was C of E and my mum's Catholic. My mum's side, like, Irish Catholic, all that stuff. But then we moved to Catholic when I was about 3 years old, and, or 4 years old. Me and my two brothers, I was the oldest, they got christened Catholic, and we all became Catholic because it was purely a better fucking school. And I grew up being an altar boy. And I remember, Dave, you think, like, you know, God's fucking gateways through the priests, you know, and all these bollocks. And you'd watch it, you'd go to Mass, and I used to serve Mass. Only serve Mass, Dave, because I used to get paid £5 a week if you did, like, you know, weddings and funerals and stuff. I was talking about this the other day. I remember laughing at a funeral once, fucking absolute bellend. There's about six of us laughing, and at the end, I told the story.
You're telling me this.
Yeah, and that family come and give us a fucking envelope. And I just felt so bad, and we were like, oh, God, and it had £5 each and whatever. But knowing that the fucking priest, Father Derek, who was one of the fathers at the time, used to go to fucking Victoria Wine, and he was supposed to have wine there, you know, when he does like the offertory and all that crap. And it was fucking sherry, Dave. So it was like, and he was an alcoholic. So it's like, yeah, and he was an alcoholic. So it was, I've always grew up with the idea, I know I'm going down the religious thing. I think you're right. It's not really a religious movie. It's just the fact that God is there, whatever you believe in. I have a hard time watching these sort of thingy because when you go back to Mass, it's just like chanting and all that crap. You know, it's my granddad's funeral a few weeks ago and I did like a eulogy there. But we still had to do the full Catholic Mass, Dave. The family are watching from Ireland, LinkedIn and all that. And it's just like, oh, God, how many times have I sat here and had to listen to this shit? You know, but it's just one of them things. So that's what I was worried about with this. But you're right. I've probably gone to it too prejudiced too much because of my views on that, which have gone very political nowadays. So I do apologize, everybody. If you are religious, I do apologize. Dave made me say this, by the way, if anyone wants to get offended by that. But no, genuinely. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think you come from the same place that I do, don't you? That if someone is religious and they take comfort from that,
respect.
You know, good luck to you, you know. But as Chris said to the vicar, just don't ram it down my throat.
But you can tickle my balls, Very good, David. So, you know, you can feel like fucking hairs now in the back of my throat. Now you've said that name. Fucking furball. Anyway, but
so I'd actually go as far as to say I would question whether there were a few religious people who really didn't like this movie because it wasn't so, you know, aligned to Christian values or whatever. And because it's so vague about, you know, what the right religion is, you know, is it Christianity, Judaism, Islam or whatever, God seems fairly agnostic to religion. And actually, one of the dicks in this lot is the Reverend Willie Williams, played by Paul Sorvino, who we saw in Goodfellas, didn't we? I can't remember. Was he in Sopranos as well? I'm not sure he was, but he was definitely in Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah.
And he was a right prick, wasn't he? You know, and one of those classic kind of evangelist preachers who's just looking to fleece the public for money.
Yeah, and you know what, Dave? I remember, do you remember the Phil Collins one? You know, the Genesis one, you know, that I've been talking to Jesus and it's there, you know, and it's like, touch the screen, $700. I've watched, I'm sure you're this, and I remember, I think it might have been on Euro Trash, where they had like, you know, they used to have these weird roving reporters. Obviously, most of the time, I was just trying to see Lola Ferrari's fucking tits, Dave, but that was as a child, or, you know, some sort of softcore porn thing. But God rest the soul. you could get lost in them, Dave. But there was always some random fucking, like, reporting, wasn't there? And they'd go somewhere and just, like, it'd be some, like, I suppose Borat in the Borat films, that sort of thing. You know, they'd go to some cult or they'd do something. And I'm pretty sure they went to one of these evangelists who, on the screen, and you see there's a guy at the moment, he's fucking demented, but he's got a private jet, Dave. He's got fucking houses. He's a millionaire. And all these people, fucking thing, you know, they pay you money. Like you watch with, I love the Blues Brothers, where it's like, you know, do you see the light? But you actually see these videos of people just possessed dancing like fucking idiots on the stage because the fucking, the evangelist has touched them. And then it's like, oh my God, God is going through my veins. Send me $200. Yeah. And it's like, fuck off. So this isn't like, but seeing him with that, it's very clever that he did play on that, because in the 80s, they made some serious cash, these evangelists, by blagging people all. And they still do to this day, Dave.
Yeah. And it's weird, isn't it? Like, you just wonder what possesses people to buy into that bullshit. I guess if you want to believe something so much, you know, you will. But it's always, like you say, with a caveat, isn't it? It's always like, oh, you know, I can speak to God or whatever, but send me $500. And obviously, you can't see me. Whenever we record, we never make each other suffer looking into each other's eyes. But when you were saying about Eurotrash, I couldn't help but do the little dance.
Classic.
Just couldn't help it. But yeah, so I like the fact that it sort of takes the piss out of our religion, really, in a very, very subtle way. But I think the tone of this movie is all fairly light, isn't it? There's nothing too controversial, really. That the whole stuff with the Reverend is probably about the most controversial thing. Now, Chris, we've mentioned about, or we've hinted at, John Denver's acting there. And I have to say, that is one of the most grating things I found about this movie, because it's this whole kind of, well, gee golly, real fucking over the top ridiculousness of the acting. I mean, part of it is the time as well. Like, he's trying to play this, oh golly gosh, kind of Joe Everyman kind of thing. But this is no John McClane. You know, this is, you know, someone who's just decent bloke. I think he is supposed to be just anyone, isn't he? He's not particularly, you know, going out there, he's not trying to rescue kids or anything, you know, he's not trying to do anything spectacular, he's just Joe Everyman. And so I like the fact that it went down that route, because this was based on a novel, wasn't it? It came out in 71, the novel. So, you know, they'd have taken a load of that. I think they changed his profession to make him more relatable, I guess. But yeah, John Denver, not a prolific actor, Chris.
Not at all, Dave, not at all. And, you know, when, like, obviously as the movie's progressing and then, the slander thing comes in, there's a couple of bits, Dave, when one of them goes like, thank God, and he went, oh, thank you. You know, like, because he is God. And I did like the line towards the end when he swears himself in and he's like, the whole truth, whatever it is, nothing but the truth, so help me. And he went, so help me, me. And they're like, what? And he's like, well, you say, so help me God, don't you? You know, because it's him. So I think, and I've jumped a little bit, but I do think that the idea of it could have been delivered a lot better, but you are dealing with a film that's 45 years old. It's of its time. Obviously, the technology. I mean, I went on YouTube. The actual film, the full film is actually on YouTube as well. So if you did want to watch it, and you can speed it up if you need to, guys. I didn't actually watch it on YouTube, but you can watch it on there. It's there, the whole thing. It's the idea behind him being there that I like, because I've seen it in other movies. For me, it just misses a step. I just think it's utter garbage. But there's a couple of nice little bits at the end that I do think were quite well executed.
Do you? Really?
Yeah, the end credits when he said the end. That was amazing.
I don't know. It just felt, I felt it took a turn. I thought it should have saw the film out, really, with, you know, everyone still laughing at John Denver. Maybe he gets some kind of, maybe he predicts something which validates that he's been able to talk to God or something like that. When God actually gets up on the stand, I'm just like, God, this is just weird now, isn't it? I mean, this is, you can say the idea of it, the idea of God, you know, coming down as a regular bloke. And he does say if someone else, you know, was to see him, they'd see him as someone else, you know, not as George Burns, you know, however. You know, just putting it out there, if you're up there, God, you know, if you're going to visit Chris, just come as Helga. And you'll have his
please.
Full attention.
Yeah. Good 10 seconds worth, but yeah, go on.
But then when you... when he's on the stand, I'm just like, where is this fucking going?
Going,
now,
yeah.
Now it is ridiculous because, you know, God didn't say fucking, you know, Moses, tell you what, you're doing a bit of a shit job here. Just let me fucking take this. You know, it's like, yeah, I just, you said it got better towards the last 10 minutes, but for me, it lost me there. That was when it was like, you know, it wasn't debatable anymore, was it? You know, you literally had this guy showing up as opposed to, you know, just thinking, you know, Jerry's a bit of a nutcase.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that speech was to deliver that he's God, to basically, one, clear Jerry's name with the slander case with Reverend Willie Williams, and two, prove to his wife that he's, because, you know, he's been the butt of the joke throughout the movie, and he was on TV, he's just been called out as just like this religious nut, and I'm quoting there, that's exactly what they call him. And that speech by God, the bit of lights at the end was the me bit, very silly. That's the one line, and also the end, Dave. But no, the bit where he disappears, he's like, "Watch this," and you can hear the footsteps. So all of a sudden, his shoes are the most leather pair of shoes ever because they're making a right squeaking noise. And then he disappears. Don't he? It's 1977 effects. Obviously, it's a cut in the tape, and then he walks out. The door goes, but his speech at the door makes no fucking sense whatsoever, doesn't it? They're recording it under oath. And he says all this and he goes, "Your Honor, I rest my case." And that's it. And then, you know, the judge is just like, "What the fuck's going on?" And then he's like, "Can you come to my chambers?" And then when they play the recording back, even though they've all seen him, he's not on the recording. And then Jerry goes, "Oh, nice bit of plot device. Yeah, he told me that he can't be recorded." I'm like, fuck off. God said he can't be recorded. So he basically gets away with it, doesn't he? And he's like, you know, his wife hugs him. Willie Williams is just like, you know, what the hell do we do? And I think, I'm sure that his, I need to have a look at this, but I'm sure that his solicitor, wasn't he one of the brothers out of, what's his name? Trading Places.
Trading Places player. Yeah. Recognised him straight away, although I can't remember his name.
Yeah, you've got a bit of thing as well, though, Dave. You've also got, what's he called? William Daniels, Dave. He was in it, you know, the voice of Kit out of Knight Rider. He's one of these George Summers. So you've got him there straight away.
Ralph Bellamy.
That's it, Ralph Bellamy. Yeah, Ralph Bellamy. Donald Pleasance, Dave, out of The Great Escape. Absolute legend of an actor.
Yeah, he was only in there. Apparently, a lot of his scenes were cut.
Oh, were they? Was he in Poltergeist? No, we did. Donald Pleasance. Was he in Poltergeist? I'm on it myself as we speak, Dave.
He's in Halloween, Chris, apparently.
Oh, that's it, Halloween, sorry. Great Escape, yes. Anyway, one of my favourites, which I sort of keep thinking I'm going to pick that for you, but I know it's a three-hour commitment, so it's like, I don't know whether I can do that to you, Dave, depending on what you... And I always pick before you, so if I pick that and you hate it because it's on for 3 hours, you'll then be like, oh, hold my beer, Chris. So I'm at a disadvantage, really. But anyway, but yeah, I think even at the end, like when he leaves his job and that the payoff is not there, you know, when he's leaving the store and driving and then obviously meets God again and God's like, "I'm going to go and spend time with animals." Question would be, fucking why? You know, like, what are you, like you said about Moses, is Moses doing such a bad job that they're going to, you know, he's now going to go with animals? It's like they were setting it up for a sequel. I don't understand it. I get the charm of George Burns, but I don't really understand what the actual message was of the movie, if I'm being honest. That's why I just did not like it.
That is it, I think. And ironic about a film about God, like, but there is no message, really, other than, you know, what if God was one of us? But there's no kind of, oh, right, yeah. You know, no real kind of, that's what this was all about.
Yeah.
So I think, like I say, for me again, it's just a sort of pleasant-ish movie, which I'm sure if, like you say, if we'd have caught this in the 80s, you know, growing up on a Sunday afternoon or something like that, I think I'd have sat through, you know, probably most of the movie at least. And, you know, the bits where, you know, it's raining in the car and stuff like that, you'd have felt like, oh, that's cool, isn't it? That's so iconic. Whereas you're watching it now and you're just like, what's the fucking point of that?
Yeah.
But I mentioned the box office, Chris. I mean, it made $51 million, so, you know, so yeah, not too shabby. But to put it into context, right, Star Wars made nearly $776
million.
So, you know, in terms of 1977 movies, bit of a different game that they're playing there. You know what I did find interesting as well, Chris? They reference or they hint at, without calling it out specifically, The Exorcist quite a bit, don't they?
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, they call about, you know, about why is it so easy to believe that, you know, the devil is present in this little girl and, you know, but you won't believe God turns up. I thought that was interesting to have a movie so blatantly reference another. I mean, it would have only been a few years old at this point, wouldn't it? So yeah, another movie like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Especially, I mean, I think they were saying as well, though, Dave, Woody Allen, if you talk about the religion side, Woody Allen was supposed to play Jerry, and it was supposed to be Mel Brooks was supposed to be God, and they both turned it down. So, and because Woody Allen was doing a religious movie, so I don't know what that is, but I was reading that before. But yeah, what a really interesting movie for Kent. I'd love a bit of context on what Kent thinks of it, really. You know, I know he'd be listening, but just his opinion, if you could email us or message me and you, like he does, you know, just message us to what he thinks up on Patreon. I'd just love to understand how he got into the movie, or you know what the background is, because I respect that. It's got me all the stuff on YouTube on the full movie. Everyone's raving over it. People like, oh, I've avoided this movie for years, blah, blah, blah. But it's not really a UK type movie, is it? You'd only have known it if it had been on like an afternoon time. It never would have been something that would have took off over here. If I'm being honest, it may have been shown maybe once or twice in the UK, but I'd never heard of it. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Chris, should we get into our final review?
Let's go. So, Dave, thank you, Kent, as always, for picking up, mate. Honestly, I hope I've not been too bad on it. But genuinely, I just couldn't get with this, as I said before, I couldn't understand what the actual point or message was of it. George Burns and his wig, no way he was ever going to be God. In my eyes, that, you know, God could be anybody, as they say in other movies and that, but it just didn't work for me. It was just, he was there for that comedy relief, and I don't think the comedy's aged very well. I can understand years ago it probably did, and maybe there's a lot of American references that we don't understand in there. I don't get it, but it just didn't sit well with me, and it was a real slog, an hour and 40. It really is. But like I say, guys, it is on YouTube. You've got the option of 1.25, 1.5 speed if you really want to watch it. But, or maybe we're wrong, I don't know. But for me, I just didn't enjoy it at all. So it's not absolutely horrendous, but I'm not sending it to Elm Street, Dave, because I've done that now the last few times because I've been fucking nice. This is going to Alderaan, Dave. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not one of the worst movies ever, but it was absolute garbage for me. So I will not be watching this again. I'm sorry, Ken. Over to you, Mr. Horrocks.
Well, I'm going to edge my bets. So, God, if you're listening, that was Chris Phelps who jettisoned you off to be blown up by a Death Star. No, so for me, again, I can tell by the way the conversation's gone, I enjoyed it a little bit more. I think I probably will never watch this again, I don't think. Even if I'm hungover on the sofa on a Sunday afternoon and I can barely muster up the energy to reach for the remote control, I probably, you know, and this came on the TV, I probably wouldn't sit it through. I'd probably make the switch, to be honest. But I can appreciate it for what it is. And I guess, you know, I'm thinking more about the context of the time. And it feels so familiar, but I think, you know, it probably has influenced other things that have come after it. You mentioned about hinting at a sequel. I mean, there were two sequels to this, Chris.
Oh, God,
right. Boggles my mind a little bit. And the only reason I knew that this was a comedy is because IMDb told me. Actually, watching the movie, I didn't feel like it was a comedy at all because there were no laugh with it, kind of jokes. It was just kind of cutesy, wasn't it? You know, it was kind of, it was more like a fantasy sort of movie, I guess. But yeah, some really interesting ideas in there. John Denver, fucking terrible actor, but you know, he's obviously legendary folk singer. So yeah, I'm glad I've watched this. Probably will not be watching it again, but it's Elm Street from me, Chris.
Fair enough, Dave, fair enough. So we have another pick, Dave, another Patreon pick. Our great friend Trent has picked one, Dave, and it's one, I'll be honest with you, I have contemplated this one a few times, do a pick it. I remember watching it and actually quite enjoying it, and I think there's two movies in there. So this is the first one. It stars Mr. Michael Douglas and someone who I definitely got a few lob-ons for, Dave, Kathleen Turner in a day, definitely, especially a man with two brains in that day. I did used to hold it on certain revealing tops that she had on, even though there was a blonde woman in that movie who's absolutely stunning. But I did like this movie. I remember watching it one afternoon, like Sunday afternoon years ago, like probably when in my teens, and actually been quite surprised. And I watched it all the way through. Then I watched the sequel. I can't remember a lot about it, but I know it's sort of an Indiana Jones ripoff, really, if I'm being honest. But anyway, Dave, we'll go back to 1984, and this is the trailer for Romancing the Stone.
I'm getting out of this jungle dump. I'm fed up here with this regular business. Yeah. Ira, you miserable worm, you lied to me. You said she was a city girl, out of her element. Just get her in the map and bring him back. Piece of cake. Piece of cake, my butt.
A crush on Kathleen Turner. What went wrong? Well.
Oh, stunner.
I'll tell you what went wrong. First of all, guess who else is here? You're dead right, Solo.
What?
Secondly, she's got herself a partner. You like shooting holes and everything.
Minimum price.
So Trent knows going on with this film, man.
375 travel checks.
I'm getting a bit worried.
That's
why
just
I like
beginning
this
what's going on down here.
I remember that, yeah. Bit of that time, Dave.
Decent stunts in this, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can say that'll make me go back into that hellhole. Don't bring that up, Ira. Ira, stop it! All right, I'll go back. But this time, you're coming with me.
Chris, you know what, I used to love this one as well, and yeah, probably there were a few stirrings just then when Pete Kathleen Turner turns up, and yeah, I haven't watched this one for years, to be honest, probably not since the 90s, I would say, in early 90s at that, but yeah, I'm going to have a lot of fun going back and watching this one.
Yeah, I hope I will. The trailer's just filled me with fucking dread, and I'm glad I didn't actually pick it, because I don't know, but I did love it. I did. I love the chemistry between Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. I really did. So, and considering I have such a dislike of the Indiana Jones movies, Dave, it's quite surprising that I actually like the rip-off version of Indiana Jones. Yeah. But anyway, weird, very strange. So I may come in. I'm going to go into this with an open mind, but I'm actually really, really looking forward to watching it. So big, great pick, Trent, as well. So let's see. As always, thank you guys for supporting us. We really appreciate it. If you want to email us, the VHS Strikes Back at gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media at VHS Strikes Back. If you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/the VHS Strikes Back. So the roll call of honor for today is Mr. Tony Farina, John Hammond, Blake Maths, Jack Herb, Lucky Lulu Green, Ken Gustafson, Heath, Matt, Tim, Susan, Justin, Dan, Trent, Stephen, Dylan, Helen, and Lee. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. Absolutely amazing stuff. Now, Dave, I did say to you I was going to take us out today, because there was a line, and when I said to you the last 10 minutes got me, it was this line, and I couldn't say it in the review because it would have ruined the end of it. But I've talked about religion. I've talked about, you know, priests and all that sort of thing, Dave, and, you know, Catholic priests especially. And you know, God has to have his people who go and send the message. And, you know, they send the message through the priests. And when God is on the stand, there was a bit that I was fucking crying at. He's talking about, you know, they're asking him some questions about God and that. And George Burns' character, God, simply says, I don't like getting inside children. And it just cracked me up. And I thought, well, that's the end for me. So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ring the bell.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't
so bad. You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe
you're
stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.